The school year started, and life began to feel more normal. I was stronger and more optimistic than I'd been since the escape. Merrill came through Salt Lake City one night and took the children out to dinner. He was heading home from Canada with a new wife, a 16-year-old, Bonnie Blackmore, who was a Canadian citizen. He introduced her to my children as their new mother. At 16, Bonnie was just a year older than Betty. This was illegal, but Merrill didn't care. He had transported a minor across an international border for sex, which could get him some serious jail time if it was ever proven. 2 weeks later, he wed another 16-year-old. Allie Barlow from Hilldale, Utah, was the next in his marrying binge. He was 68 years old, with 14 wives and more than 100 children now, including many stepchildren. I think he needed to prove that he could still have any woman he wanted. When Merrill wasn't marrying more wives, he was liquidating assets and building housing in Texas on Warren Jeff's compound in El Dorado, which spanned nearly 2,000 acres. A few months after he married his underage brides, he moved them to Texas and destroyed all traces of their ever having lived in Colorado City, presumably so there would be no evidence that could be used against him. I knew I had to find a job to enable me to pay my utility bills that winter. With Harrison and Bryson, it was impossible to work a regular 9-to-5 job. I ended up going to work for a small locksmithing business run by a couple I'd met who'd once been part of another polygamist community with no ties to the FLDS. Paul and Lodine had 14 children and needed help with their bookkeeping. Paul said it was fine to bring Harrison and Bryson with me to work. There was a room downstairs where Harrison could sleep and Bryson could watch cartoons. I took the job with delight. I have a good head for numbers and was put in charge of collecting past due accounts. The job went so well, I brought in $30,000 in past due accounts for them. I realized my abilities hadn't been wiped out by the trauma of the last year or my PTSD. What I knew I needed was work I could do from home. I decided to become an accountant. I could do that from home and make my own hours. I looked into graduate school at the University of Utah and realized I needed to pass the GMAT test in order to apply. I signed up for a GMAT prep class and started going on Saturday mornings. It was hard to find the time to study, but I was thrilled to be using my brain again and doing something for myself. One Saturday, I started getting dressed for school, but didn't put any energy into it. I just didn't care. When I looked in the mirror, I thought I looked awful. I was wearing black jeans and a big heavy sweater. My hair was frizzy from a new perm, but so what? Then a strange and unfamiliar feeling came over me. I had a sense that I was going to meet the love of my life that day. I wasn't looking for the love of my life. That was what was so unsettling. I knew everyone in the class already. I was running late and brushed the thought off as something crazy. That day we had a substitute teacher. He introduced himself as Brian and said he had an MBA from Harvard. That got my attention. I'd never met anyone who'd gone to an Ivy League school. He was good-looking and clearly very fit. I noticed during the class that he paid a lot of attention to me. Why was he looking at me? Was it my imagination? No, I realized it wasn't.